This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
With the threat of Iran attacking Israel, perhaps even tonight or tomorrow, is civil war on the horizon in America and in the Western world? Today on Viewpoint, we're going to take a very honest and careful look at the spread of unrest everywhere, even in the areas of the world that supposedly provide the greatest supposed peace and stability in the world today. What does that mean? What are the implications of that? What are the implications of a warning from a former member of the Knesset in Israel claiming that the United States is on the brink of civil war and that Israel cannot trust the U.S. or and must disregard international pressure because the countries that are putting pressure on Israel are themselves under extreme pressure from inside? Today on Viewpoint, we're going to take a look at this here as we enter this evening the infamous period of time called the 9th of Av, Tish B'Av, the 9th of Av, a date that goes down in history in Israel as the most destructive date ever in the history of Israel. Will Iran attack on this date? And what's going on in the UK? What's going on in the United States right now? Are we being attacked from within? Are there plans actually within France and Germany and the US and the UK to destroy those countries and bring them to their knees to embrace a global order? That's where we are today, wondering if there is any hope, or if, as Michael Brown says, America is doomed if we don't have revival and a massive awakening throughout the country. So again, I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's Conversation with Ever-Increasing Conviction, talk that transforms, and today is absolutely no exception. We know that, and you're hearing that all over the world, and certainly coming from Israel and then with the U.S., that this matter of Iran is percolating in its final hours, supposedly, because Iran did not attack the Monday, last Monday, as it was foretold by so many pundits. Iran did not attack within 24 hours. But many have proposed that Iran would attack on the infamous day of Tish B'Av, or the 9th of Av, the Hebrew calendar. But what happened on Tish B'Av? Maybe we should start by taking a look at that, and we're going to do that here in just a moment. From Israel National News, we have this report concerning the matter of Tish B'Av. We're not going to go into it in great detail, but enough so that we all understand exactly what we're dealing with, what Israel is dealing with. Tish B'Av, the 9th of Av, is a fast day marking the destruction of the first and second temples, along with many other things, but those are the two primary things. Remember, the temple stood in Israel as its identity. Israel's identity was with the temple. No temple, no redemption. No temple, no salvation. No temple, no ability to sacrifice animal sacrifice that supposedly would allow them to be cleansed from their sin on the Day of Atonement each year. No temple, no hope. Unless you suppose and replace the sacrifices with doing good deeds, which a couple of rabbis actually proposed, and which may actually, that very spirit, have contributed to some of the Apostle Paul's writings concerning the doctrine of good works as opposed to salvation by grace through faith. On Tish B'Av, the people of Israel conducted themselves as if they were mourning a close relative who had passed. Even Torah study is prohibited. That's how serious they take these 2 days. Tens of thousands are expected to visit the Western Wall, the last remnant of the temple built in 516 BCE, before Christ. It was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. And so we have two temples destroyed, each on the 9th of Av. On this date, the 9th of the Jewish month of Av, many hardships befell the nation of Israel, more than just the destruction of the two temples. Among them was the end of the Bar Kokhba revolt against the Romans that led to the leveling of the city of Jerusalem by the Romans. And on the very same date, the Jews were expelled from Spain, even as Columbus was giving his authorization to sail the ocean blue on his way to America, 1492. Tish B'Av, days of not awe, but destruction. So how is the world responding to this? What is the world attempting to do? What is the United States attempting to do? With a headline coming from the Jerusalem Post today, Iran could attack Israel the next 24 hours. I'm not here to tell you that that's what they're going to do. I'm here to tell you that that is what many believe they're going to do, or perhaps to fool Israel, maybe not do that, and wait for another day, or not. So all of these things are up in the air. The whole world is on pins and needles. How on pins and needles is the world? Well, from the Russia Times comes this piece. U.S. deploys missile submarine to the Middle East. The Pentagon also ordered a carrier strike group equipped with F-35 fighter jets to the region in order to defend Israel. The U.S. is accelerating military deployments to the Middle East as it seeks to defend Israel amid reports of a potential Iranian attack. Iran has been vowing retaliation. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has ordered a guided missile submarine and the USS Abraham Lincoln aircraft carrier equipped with F-35 fighter jets to the region. In other words, this is big stuff. Iran promised to inflict harsh punishment on Israel. And it all happened with the killing, Israel's killing of Hanaya, who was the head, the leader of Hamas there in Tehran. It sparked global concerns about an all-out war between Israel and Iran. So today, this very day, the leaders of France, Germany, and the UK called on Iran and its allies to, quote, refrain from attacks that would further escalate regional tensions, unquote. Now, here's the problem. Those nations are in deep trouble. They have no security with their own nations, even though the Olympics were held over the past 11 days there in France, closed yesterday. But France is in deep trouble. France is on the edge of civil war. So great is the problem in France that rabbis have urged the Jewish people to flee from France because there is no more opportunity, no place for Jews in France. Why? Because it's a completely chaotic country, no security, and Britain's no exception. We'll take a look at that when we get back. Stay tuned.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
And I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Today, we're tying all of these things together in a bigger picture. That bigger picture begins with Israel, but it doesn't end with Israel. It spreads all over the Western world. It spreads all over our mother country, the UK, Britain. It's in France. It's in Germany. It's all over Europe. The unsettling, the chaos, the lack of anything stable and dependable. You may not hear about that specifically on your favorite news sites because they don't know how to connect the dots. But that's what we do here on this program. One of the reasons why people are unable to connect the dots is because they do not have a biblical perspective, which means they don't have a God's eye view of what's going on in the world or in history. History ultimately is God's story, isn't it? It's His story. And so, because it is His story, we should understand what happens from His perspective. And the Bible is how we get that perspective. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that we know everything that's going to happen. It doesn't necessarily mean that we know all the details with great specificity. That's not what we try to do here on this program. What we take a look at is the bigger picture. The bigger picture so that we can see the trajectory of history as it connects with biblical prophecy for the purpose not that we can get all excited about this, that, or the other and say to our friends, did you hear what I heard, and so on. No, it's not about that. It's about understanding the times so that we can be responsive to them from God's viewpoint, not from our viewpoint, not from the United States' viewpoint, not from a conservative or a liberal's viewpoint, from God's viewpoint. And therein lies the problem, you see, because the majority of people on our planet don't want to know what God's viewpoint is. They want, or those that say they do, what they really want is for God to affirm their own viewpoint. And so we find ourselves in chaos, even in God's own house, even in the church. We find ourselves in chaos, near civil war in some respects. Wars over certain theological positions that, quite frankly, have directly nothing to do with salvation, but have to do with whole economies, for instance, within the evangelical community that are dependent on that position. And they can't dare to change their position, even if they were to receive a 110% reverse authority. Even probably from God himself, they wouldn't change their position because their entire trajectories and their ministries and their funding and so on are all dependent on those positions. Therefore, there is serious brokenness within the broader body of Christ. How then are we able to respond to the things that are happening in our world? How can we coalesce in unity when we're not in unity? People try to pretend that we're in unity because, you know, the majority of professing Christians will say, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, I believe that he's the Savior of the world. I do believe that he was crucified, that he rose again, and so on, like the Apostles' Creed. But creeds don't save anybody. They help to unite one another in certain ways, but then there's so many other things that are disuniting us. We're in discord, disunity, and what we're finding now is at the political level, there is terrifying discord even among the so-called democratic nations. And that's what we want to take a look at here in the next few minutes. Today, the British Prime Minister, the new guy, Keir Starmer, canceled his family vacation in order to deal with continuing riots across the United Kingdom. That's our mother country, friends. That's the country that gave us Charles Wesley, John Wesley, founder of Methodism, and so on. That gave us George Whitefield, that gave us the Salvation Army. That's the country that gave us, and so many missionaries. But it's in chaos. The Prime Minister has warned the police to stay on high alert, with 6,000 riot officers deployed to potential points of trouble in an effort to prevent more violence. Well, that's good to prevent violence, but it's the government that's facilitating the violence. because of their viewpoint on life, their political viewpoint, which is fundamentally globalistic. Right now, over 700 people have been arrested. The prime minister and his aides repeatedly have avoided answering questions about the underlying causes of the riots. Why won't they answer questions regarding the underlying cause of the riots? Because they don't want to admit it. They don't want to admit it because to admit it goes 100% against their, shall we say, political theology. In other words, welcome all the immigrants in, no matter who they are, without restriction, which is a globalistic viewpoint. It's about merging the entire world together in one polyglot of human beings to basically undermine the sovereignty of all countries. The BBC said that even the Labour Party there is in disagreement about what's to blame for the rioting. And yet the Labour Party is the very party that elected the Prime Minister, changed the history of the UK suddenly, and turned it into a massive liberal enterprise. More liberal than ever before. It's a globalistic enterprise led by a man who is a staunch globalist, Keir Starmer. So with that having been said, where does that lead? What does that look like, for instance, in the UK? A British government official has threatened to arrest anyone anywhere in the world if they violate his interpretation of what speech should be allowed in public or not. In other words, anything that he, this one guy, disagrees with cannot be allowed in public. In other words, you can't speak it, you can't write it, you can't proclaim it, and if you do, you're going to be arrested. Anywhere in the world. That's his viewpoint. This takes the whole idea of misinformation and disinformation and catapults it down the road on steroids, doesn't it? But misinformation or disinformation has no defined term. It's only what the person who declares it decides it's going to be. So if they don't like something that goes against their policy, it's necessarily misinformation or disinformation. Even though the facts are absolutely clear, if you cite the facts, if you declare them on the internet, if you declare them in an email, if you declare them in public, you are subject to arrest. Now, the dispute is over the recent comment from a police commissioner in the UK. His name is Mark Rowley. And he's the one that issued the threat. And it's stirring up a massive hornet's nest of concern all over the free world. The supposedly free world. That it's actually losing its freedom, forfeiting its freedom in favor of globalism. He said, we will throw the full force of the law at people, and whether you're in the country committing crimes on the streets or committing crimes from further afield, we will come after you. He envisions even extraditing people from other countries to face his courtroom antics on issues such as what has happened in the UK. In other words, they don't want anybody talking about what's actually happening and spawning the riots in the UK. What is spawning the riots? At the bottom of the list, the actual driving force is the pursuit of globalism by welcoming in same issue that we have in this country through the Biden administration, an invasion of immigrants that are changing the face of the UK dramatically, causing unrest in the communities, and resulting in now riots. The attorney, respected attorney Turley, explained the decline of free speech in the UK has long been a concern for free speech advocates. The issue surfaced because London has been hit with days of violent protests over immigration policies. The police commissioner expanded his comment, saying, being a keyboard warrior does not make you safe from the law. You could be guilty of offenses, of incitement, or stirring up racial hatred. So Jonathan Turley responds, the message is chilling because free speech has been in a free fall in the United Kingdom as well as other Western countries, by the way, including the United States under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. He noted the UK has adopted many laws criminalizing speech, using vague terms that allow for police to arrest anyone they want to under non-specific terms and not even be charged. He pointed out ordinarily one would expect the U.S. government to push back on the suggestion that these laws could be used to arrest and extradite the citizens for the use of free speech. However, the Biden-Harris administration, he said, has actually been a proponent of censorship and blacklisting for years. Leading Democrats have called for European-type laws to be adopted or enforced against U.S. citizens for their views on social media. In other words, if you dislike what the Biden administration says, for instance, about immigration, about illegal immigration, about facilitating all of that and not doing anything about it, you then become the object of activating censorship, which could put you in jail. When Democrat leaders like Hillary Clinton, and I'm reading now this from Jonathan Turley, Democratic leaders like Hillary Clinton called on foreign countries to use or pass censorship laws to prevent Elon Musk from restoring free speech protections on Twitter. When Clinton called upon Europeans to censor Americans, this is precisely what such actions would look like. These foreign countries could force Americans to curtail their speech under the threat of ruinous financial penalties or even arrest. Sounds like China, doesn't it? Doesn't this sound an awful lot like China? Friends, do we not understand the dynamics of what are taking place in our world? And right now we're just talking about the geopolitical aspects of this. But soon we're going to be talking about the spiritual aspects. Because quite frankly, the geopolitical is a reflection of the underlying spiritual issues, the spiritual discord in the world, the spiritual discord in the UK, in France, in Germany, and in America. How are we in any position to be able to call on anybody else to respect freedom of speech when we ourselves are curtailing it? When the Biden administration and Kamala Harris and her new VP proposed associate, they're all birds of a feather. They are Marxist in their thinking. They believe in the basic fundamentals of Saul Alinsky's rules of radicals, just as Hillary Clinton declared she was addicted to them, based her life on Saul Alinsky's rules of radicals. That's where we're heading, friends. And now, Joe Biden has confirmed he plans to end the separation of powers that has long protected the United States and to do something else instead. I wonder what that is. We'll talk about it when we get back. This is Viewpoint.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries.
on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. It seems that almost everything that we have historically based our concept and expectation of life stability upon is in chaos. You heard the promotion concerning the little spot concerning marriage and divorce and remarriage. Why do you think that's important? Because marriage is God's planned foundational truth plan for relationships on this planet, and particularly among Christians especially, because it's to manifest God's intended plan for the church and its relationship to Christ himself. So if that is under attack, which it has been now for 50 years, ever since 1968, actually, with Ronald Reagan there as then governor of California inaugurating the No-Fault Divorce Act. And then ever since then, the whole nation has been in a marital corruption zone. And in many respects, the church has facilitated it in order to try to get along with the culture. And so we've actually participated, and pastors have participated, even evangelical pastors have participated in the corruption of the most fundamental relationship that God ordained. Facilitating it. And then turning around after facilitating divorces, which is, by the way, not the unpardonable sin. But what's greater is when the pastors turn around and they facilitate the remarriage when the spouses are still living of the divorced people that Jesus himself called adultery, and that the Apostle Paul said, adulterers, fornicators, adulterers, and practicing homosexuals will not enter the kingdom of heaven, that is, unless they repent, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. But we've decided to play footsie with God's plan and purposes that set the guidelines for stability in our homes, in our countries, and so on, to give glory to God in those spheres, those nations, those cities, those families, and so on, that were faithful to God's plan. But we haven't been faithful. So we actually have helped facilitate the breakdown of our country, and therefore the breakdown of the world, in the name of Christ. Because we say, well, God is love. Yes, God is love. And that's why he gave us the strictures to guide us so that we could be loving people and display his version of love, not your version. It's not about feelings. It's about our faith. So I insert that aspect because it has brought chaos into this country that proposed to be a nation under God. So we have no ability to point our finger at anybody else, any other country, to try to get them to come into alignment with God's plan for stability in the household and in their countries when we ourselves are the worst enemy? Are you beginning to get the point? So, this is a very, very serious issue, because here's the problem. What this leads to, for instance, is since 1968, somewhere around 800,000 to 1 million children every year in the United States of America have been left virtual orphans because of divorce. Virtual orphans. Now, what did that do? It created a problem of fatherlessness. And fatherlessness now, even among secular observers, is said to be the centerpiece of all of the negative statistics that are taking place in our world, in our country. The centerpiece. Because God ordained fathers to be the head of the home. Why? Because God the Father is the head. Jesus is the Son. The Holy Spirit is sent by Jesus to do the work. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. And Jesus himself said, "Father, I came only to do your will." So whose will have you come to do? You see, the problem is we've got everything out of order. As it is, the psalmist said, if the foundations be eroded, gone, destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we've destroyed the foundations. In the name of love, or in the name of freedom, or in the name of democracy, you see, everything is done in the name of something else. And it wasn't true. Now, that really is misinformation or disinformation. That's what real misinformation or disinformation is. When you disagree with the foundational truth and decide to adopt a secondary or alternative truth, you have undermined the essential foundation. And if the foundations be destroyed, then what can we do? We're going to talk about what we could do as we head toward the end of the program here today. And it's pretty serious business. So in the spiritual realm, I just gave the illustration concerning our marriages, our families. Why are they in chaos? Why do we have such chaos? Why do we have so many divorces? Why do we have so many kids in drugs? Why do we have so many of our daughters in illicit relationships? Why do we have 40% of America's children born out of wedlock? It's all because we voided God's essential plan for stability in our households, which is, from his viewpoint, called righteousness. Are we beginning to get a bit of a picture of this? Now, I don't know who you are, see, so I can't look in the whites of your eyes and point my finger at you, but God does. With his Holy Spirit, as we speak the truth here in love, that's what we're doing, speaking the truth in love, the Holy Spirit will quicken your mind and heart, because the word will not return void. Now, what you do with it is another matter. Whether you choose to accept what God has said, notwithstanding what you have done, notwithstanding what you chose to believe or to do as an alternative, then the only hope is to confess it clearly, without excuse, repent, and turn from it. That's what we have to do. That's why God says that he rejects the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The humble are those who agree with God. The proud are those who disagree with God on any or all points. Any point. If you disagree, and we have pastors all over this country who have made almost a business out of disagreeing with God on the issue of marriage, divorce, or remarriage. And there are other issues like that, but that's the biggest one. That is the biggest one, because the word is so clear on it. But we want to make it fuzzy. We want to make it unclear so that we can justify doing what we want to do, right? And then pastors engaging in remarriages when they know what Jesus said about that, but they don't care because they want to please the people, you see. And they want to keep their budgets going. We have to make some decisions somewhere, friends, don't we? We either are people of truth or we're not. We're either people of righteousness or we're not. There's no in between. Now we're going to shift from the spiritual application there. That is just one spiritual application, by the way. And we're going to shift back to the political. Joe Biden, now, in comments that promoted a headline warning about his plans, Biden confirms plans to end the separation of powers in American government. Now, what's the separation of powers? Remember, we had three branches of government, the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. And each one of them were totally separate from the other. It was called checks and balances. But Joe Biden doesn't like that. Just like Barack Obama didn't like it, Joe Biden, his acolyte, doesn't like it either. He doesn't like that the Supreme Court can rule in something against what he wants. So he says, we're going to change that. We're going to impose our own rules on the Supreme Court. So he said, in his final months as president, he's going to make a full court press to call for the Supreme Court to be changed. Now, what kind of changes does he want to implement? Well, among other things, he wants to make sure that the Congress can tell the Supreme Court what to do. Really? In other words, he wants to destroy the separate branches of government, the separation of powers. He wants to make the Supreme Court subject to the Congress being an alternative Supreme Court to tell the Supreme Court what they can do and what they can't do. Interesting. Very interesting. In other words, how they can rule or not rule. And apparently, perhaps, that the Congress could even override what the Supreme Court says if people don't like it. Well, I thought the whole idea was to try to establish checks and balances so that no branch of government could have domination such that we would actually endanger our democracy. But guess what? He wants to do this in the name of democracy. No, that's not in the name of democracy. That's in the name of dictatorship, my friends. Getting to see the point?
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. Today we're looking at the chaos erupting in the so-called free world. Why is it happening? What does it mean? Well, it's leading down a pathway that is headed inexorably toward a new world order. That's what it's all about. Because ultimately, as the chaos grows in the so-called free world, the cry will go up amid the riots that are continuing, will continue to multiply. The cry will go up, somebody has to come in and save us. And so the stage will have been set to release national sovereignty of the nations of the world, particularly the Western nations of the former Roman Empire and the rebuilt Roman Empire, to cry for a one-world leader and a one-world government. Somebody come in and deliver us. That's what's happening. I hope you just heard what I said. Now, Israel is concerned about their very existence. The Jerusalem Post today contained this headline: a great existential threat. A Harris presidency is a terrible threat on Israel's future. That's coming from the Jerusalem Post. Harris as president could be a disaster for Israel and the Jewish people, was the headline. A Harris presidency not only could be a disaster for Israel and the Jewish people, it would be the greatest existential threat Israel has ever faced. Now, why is that? American voters, I'm reading right from the Jerusalem Post. This isn't coming from Donald Trump. This isn't coming from anybody running for office here. This is coming from Israel, from the most centered newspaper in Israel. Not right, not right wing, not left wing. The most centerpiece is newspaper in Israel, the Jerusalem Post. American voters need to wake up and realize that Kamala Harris is a dangerous radical who wants the United States as we know it brought down. The Democrat Party has replaced President Joe Biden as its presidential candidate with a woman who is the left of Bernie Sanders. Now Israel is in the middle of a seven-front war. The world is fraught with danger, and the Democrat candidate for president is a foreign affairs novice whose views on Israel are downright scary. Harris and Walz have no advantages, and letting her take over the White House would make America less safe and put Israel in great peril. Now, another way of putting that is it would create greater chaos, would prevent Israel from trusting America at all. That's what they're saying, because of her views. Joe Biden is a globalist, but Kamala Harris is a Marxist. She's a globalist and a Marxist, as is Mr. Walz, her vice presidential candidate. Where does that leave America? Where does that leave Israel? Where does that leave the world? Where does that leave any of us? Well, let's take a few looks very quickly at the whole issue of this globalistic thing that's developing. We've talked about it so many, many times here on this program. And once again, this is what we're seeing playing out in real time right in front of our eyes, whether it's in the U.S., UK, Germany, France, it's everywhere. Even through the Olympics, we saw it being played out. It's a global phenomenon that's developing, and it's consistent with biblical prophecy. From the ruins of World War II, a global phenomenon began. Just as Israel began its phenomenal resurrection from historical obscurity in fulfillment of biblical prophecy on May 14, 1948, so Europe began a breathtaking rise to world prominence in 1951 with the establishment of the European Coal and Steel Community, or Common Market. Established by the treaties of Rome in 1957 and 58, the declared aim was to give Western Europe greater influence in world trade and economic affairs. But by 1999, a single European currency, the euro, was created and now competes with the dollar for global acceptance. The Maastricht Treaty of 1993, which is the year, by the way, that we formed Save America Ministries to rebuild the foundations of faith and freedom, understanding the developments that were taking place running from our eyes, as biblical prophecy foretold. The Maastricht Treaty of 1993 established the political entity known as the European Union. The renowned Roman Empire of antiquity faded into diverse peoples and countries from the Mediterranean to the Baltic and North Seas for 2,000 years. As the curtain is drawn on the church age, the countries now clamor to be included in the spectacular resurrection of Rome. 27 nations, historical yet enmity, now embrace as political friends, all in pursuit of what they call security and prosperity, which is the Hebrew word for shalom, or shalom is the Hebrew word for that. Never before in history has a nation obliterated from its roots and dispersed to the four winds for 2,000 years been resurrected in its own land, as has Israel, against all social, political, and economic odds. By contrast, never before in history have so many countries and peoples, now around 500 million, voluntarily come together in time of peace as in the European Union. So Jacques Delors, a former head of the resurrecting Rome, the European Union, said, "We must hurry because history is waiting." Prophecy is not waiting, but rather it's surging inexorably toward the second coming of Jesus Christ, God's promised Prince of Shalom, you know, Prince of Peace. In less than a generation of 70 years, the world witnessed the rebirth of Israel, the apple of God's eye, and the rebirth of Rome, the deceiver's counterfeit, merging the spirit of Egypt, the spirit of Babylon, and the spirit of Rome into one global enterprise destined to declare dominion over the souls of men. Babel, a Babylon, rebuilt in men's hearts as mystery Babylon, just as the kingdom of God through the Israel of God is being given life through the hearts of men as the mystery of God. And these two kingdoms, the resurrecting Roman Empire, defined primarily by NATO now, are coming into mortal and eternal conflict. And Satan, as the god of this world, is drawing the peoples of this planet into a godless oneness. And it is the move toward a new global world order. And that's why George Herbert Walker Bush, the 41st President of the United States, in 1990, stood before a joint session of Congress and declared a new world order. It was the first time an American president had ever uttered those words in public. And then over 200 times during his administration, he repeated those words. In other words, 1992-93 was the fulcrum period for world history, for American history, and for the catapulting of our world in the final steps toward fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Now, in order to enable to you understand a greater depths of some of this, I would urge you to get a copy of my book, Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter. Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter. It's a $22 book, yours for $20. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling, $6 now, because it barely covers our cost. Okay, now, I indicated that where's the hope? This all sounds like a message of doom and gloom. Yes, it's not a pleasant picture. Biblical prophecy does not paint a pleasant picture for the world as it careens inexorably toward the second coming of Jesus Christ. Quite the contrary. So what do we do? How do we respond? What should be our attitude? Well, Dr. Michael Brown, a friend of mine and of this ministry, wrote a piece that was contained in the Christian Post today. He said, we're living at a critical moment in American history. How we respond today will go a long way in determining the future of our nation, or whether our nation even continues to exist as the United States of America. In other words, gets emerged or destroyed into a new global order. Simply stated, he said, without a sweeping revival of the church that leads to a national awakening, America as we know it is doomed. Now, for Michael Brown to say this, I know he didn't want to say this, but he felt compelled to say this. I know Michael Brown. He felt compelled to say this. And I've been saying this for a very, very long time. People would ask me, even 10, 15 years ago, Chuck, do you see any future hope for the United States of America? I said, no, except for one thing. And that is a massive spiritual revival. And that was like 15 years ago, I would say that. But here's Dr. Michael Brown now saying, you know, we're doomed, except we will either continue to fall into moral and spiritual confusion, that's chaos, or we'll break up entirely as a nation, pulling apart at the seams. Either way, without revival, we're in a very critical condition. In other words, friends, what he's saying is we're on the edge of civil war in the United States. What's the foundation of the Civil War? In the Civil War that we think of as the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln style, it was over slavery and also states' rights. Remember that? So it was the power of the states versus the power of a centralized government called the federal government. Today, it's moral, like it was with slavery, but it's also in the same regard with regard to governmental power. Global government versus national government or sovereignty. Those are the two things. One is spiritual, the other seems to be political, but even that is spiritual in its roots. Because God said that's not to happen. He said that's not to happen going all the way back to Genesis chapter 11, where he destroyed the efforts of the peoples that came out from under the flood to join together rather than spread apart into their nations. And they were building the Tower of Babel, and God said, no, I'm not going to let them do that. I'm not going to let them join together to try to make themselves God. And so he destroyed their languages, confused them. And that's why it's called babbling from the Tower of Babel. But here's the catch, says Michael Brown. Revival alone will not get the job done. It has to be a revival in the church that leads to a reformation in society, an outpouring that leads to an awakening. A powerful revival movement without a national awakening, he said, would just delay the inevitable, or worse still, simply make us more accountable. It really is revival and awakening, or we die. So, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you, my friend? What's God saying to you today? Is there anything about your life that you need to get right with God and His viewpoint? See, it has to begin one person at a time. One person at a time, beginning with you. That's how it begins. That's how it begins. Not with the other guy. It begins with you and me. Thanks for joining us. God bless and be a blessing. Become a partner, friends. Do it today. Don't delay.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.